The police association warns officers will not be able to confiscate gang patches in real time under a proposed law change. The Gangs Legislation Amendment Bill is in front of a Justice Select Committee as part of the Coalition's crackdown on crime. It includes banning gang patches in all public places, giving police special powers to break up gang gatherings, and allowing courts to stop gang members associating with each other. It also amends the Sentencing Act to make gang membership an aggravating factor at sentencing. Police Association President Chris Cahill told the Parliamentary Committee, while the police union broadly supports the bill, the public should not expect officers to take gang patches on the spot. Chris Cahill, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
So what is the police union's position on this bill?
Yeah, well, in general, we're supportive, but it's only another tool, and it's not going to be as a blunt a tool as the public might expect. I mean, the reality is there's in some areas there's more gang members than police officers. The reality of being able to stop every gang member that's in public with a patch on and take their patch off them and arrest them, it's just not going to be able to happen. So it has to be used a little bit more wisely. What exactly that will look like, to be honest, will unfold with time, and a bit will be around police policy. A bit will be around how the courts interpret the legislation as well.
Bluntly, how enforceable is it, Chris?
It depends a little bit where you are and the circumstances, and that's, you know, that concerns me a bit. I don't know how well you can have a law that you might be able to enforce in Invercargill when you've got two gang members and 10 cops, compared with how you enforce that law in Hapotiki with 10 gang members and one cop. So that's a bit of a concern. But where I think it can be a real disincentive to gang members to wear their patches in public is if it's added on to other offending. So, for instance, you've got gang members that assault someone in a public place. They're arrested at a later date for that assault. They're also charged with wearing the gang patch in a public place, and the patch is seized and subsequently destroyed when they're convicted of that offence. That's going to send a big disincentive to gang members to be committing offences with patches or even to be wearing them.
So just explain the later date business, because this is your point. It's not necessarily going to happen on the spot. So just relate to me again how it would add anything to policing.
Well, gang members very much value their patch. Their patch is their identity for a lot of them, and there are strict protocols within the gangs about protecting your patch, not losing your patch. So the idea that a police officer could do a search warrant for you having worn your patch in a public place, turn up at your address and seize your patch, put some real pressure on those gang members not to create a situation where police are going to do that. So it is just another tool that police can use for the gang members that are causing the real problems. Now, that will be a challenge for the courts to say, well, you're choosing. And I mean, police always have the discretion when they exercise a law. But, you know, this would be a wider discretion than most. And I think that's where the courts are going to become quite interesting in this case.
The problem with that is that if you set up a law that you don't enforce, it actually has the reverse effect, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the real risk is that the public have an idea that police are going to be out there stopping every gang member in the street and taking their patches off them. And that is just unrealistic. And that is the biggest challenge with the law. It's something that, you know, in 12 months' time, once the law was passed and it's been acted, and we saw how many times police have actually used it and in what circumstances, we might have a better understanding of it. And I get why that you know, creates an issue for people and why people say, well, that doesn't really the way law should work.
If the starting point is that gangs too often give two fingers to the police and gather and do things and end up sometimes with the police more managing the situation than dealing to the situation, doesn't this just further undermine the credibility of police if we have a law that is not very regularly enforced?
Yeah, I think that is a risk. And, you know, we've seen police now cracking down on things like the gang tongies and the behaviour at them, not so much the tongie, but the behaviour and the driving at them, those sorts of things. And that's clearly where police have changed some of their tactics. And I think you'll see more of that in relation to gang gatherings and dispersals when they can, but they're not going to be able all the time. I think it doesn't mean the law can't be successful if over a period of time police have seized a number of key gang members' patches, and that's meant they're wearing them less in the public place, especially if they're using the patch in an intimidatory manner.
Is that where it's going to happen? It's going to be used in conjunction with the dispersal powers and in situations of intimidation. It could be used early to arrest someone in the situation of public intimidation.
I think, as I say, definitely. That's what I'm saying. It's another tool, but it's not a tool you're going to be able to use in every circumstance. And that will frustrate members of the public at times. I mean, they're going to see gang members in the main street of town. They're going to ring police, and police are saying, well, look, they're not breaking the law. They're not intimidating anyone directly at the moment. With our resources, we're not going to act today. Equally, if something requires immediate police intervention, then they have the powers to arrest based on the fact they're just wearing a patch in a public place.
There's another interesting aspect to this. I think, is it 7 days in which the police could seek a search warrant over an historic incident of wearing your patch in public? Is that what the law says?
No. So police did originally, in briefing papers, look at the option of having the pair without a search warrant within 7 days of the patch being worn
right
in public place. That wasn't proceeded with. And I think I could understand why not. It might be just a step too far to give police those powers.
So what I'm getting at here is, will it also be a useful holding charge?
Well, police will still be able to get a search warrant, and that can be valid sort of within 3 months of that offending. They could get a search
right
warrant.
And what I'm suggesting is, would it be a useful charge to use potentially when police are dealing with a wider issue? This charge is on the books. This charge could be a holding charge.
Yeah, it certainly could be. And you know, if you've got a situation in a town where you've got some significant gang tension, I think a Wairoa, which blows up it seems to be at least two times a year, where it blows up with significant gang tensions and extra police have to go into that town. Well, they could use this law to take some of the heat out of those gang tensions by taking anyone off the street who's deciding to wear their patch and add to those gang tensions. So it's just going to take police a bit of good, clever thinking and a bit of understanding how they use it. And I do warn, of course, that I still think this is the sort of law that's going to be challenged right through to the Supreme Court, and ultimately be the courts that decide whether the law is going to stand.
How so? What are the weaknesses or the vulnerabilities?
I think the biggest vulnerability is the challenge that it breaches Bill of Rights. And clearly the right of an individual to wear a patch when they're not per se breaking another law. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge, whether that's a breach of the human rights.
Okay.
And their Bill of Rights.
In another matter on this, look, I saw a patch gang member fishing off Oriental Parade a couple of weeks ago, peaceably, not bothering anybody. In fact, the person next to him told him the fish were boiling up a bit further along. Now, that would not be a circumstance, surely, that police would show any interest in, even were there to be a complaint.
You wouldn't have think so. I think that's the challenge with the New Zealand environment, in that overseas where these have been used, the gangs are a different nature. That I sort of break them down in very simplistic terms. You've got your ethnic gangs, which are the most common mongrel mob, Black Power, and a lot of times they are embedded into a community. Many of them are older members who don't commit crime anymore. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the majority of the reason that the gangs exist isn't to commit crime, but many of the older ones don't. Then you've got what I call the outlaw motorcycle gangs. So your things like your Comancheros, your Headhunters, who only exist to commit crime and to make money. And they can be a different sort of outcome required when dealing with those in different circumstances. So, you know, you're an older mongrel mob member sitting on the riverbank fishing, as you say, or on the wharf fishing, is a different circumstance.
There's a young guy, actually, Chris, but interesting. Yeah. But the situation, the tangi, for example, the tangihang, where, you know, in one case, I think it was a Pōtiki, basically the entire town was shut down. Do you see police dealing with that differently or not because of these new powers? It's not just the wearing the gang patch, it's the dispersal power as well. And a local business or a local community says, we don't want this, but what decision will police make?
Yeah, well, there will always be one of the challenges with places like a Pōtiki has, there's the resourcing available. But I think what we've seen is that certainly could never stop gang members going to a tangi and respectfully, acknowledging, the loss of a whānau member or a friend. The challenge is when they decide to do that in a manner that then disrupts the rest of the community, blocking roads, doing burn-ups, all those sorts of things. Police have already started to push back on that, and I think rightly so. It's gone too far, and give someone an inch, they take a mile, and that's what's occurred. And I think with this legislation, it will give police the powers, greater powers to disperse those people earlier.
The former Mayor of Whanganui, Michael Laws, says the short-lived gang insignia ban by-law that district had was effective in large part due to a special gang policing unit being set up. In other words, there was a deliberate, focused group looking to enforce it and the behaviour that accompanied it. How likely is that to happen anywhere with the introduction of this new law, given resourcing?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge, is the resourcing. Something else is going to have to give. Police simply don't have the resources to just move teams into, overt policing of gangs. They do a lot of covert policing of gangs and a lot of long-term operations, but that in-your-face teams that are out there just don't exist anymore, and so that's going to be a real struggle. I do. There's one other point Michael made that I think will be interesting, and that was that one of the things he heard about the gang patch ban is that the partners of gang members said what they liked is that it stopped their partner having to be macho because they had that gang patch on and having to behave like a gang member. So when they went out in public, they weren't wearing their patch, so they didn't have that I have to act like a gang member mentality. So that was an interesting look, sort of insight into some of the other things that could come out of it.
On that front, at a police national headquarters a few years back now, there was an effort, if you like, to change the approach, one of the approaches to the gang issue. And it was particularly focused on trying to help partners and children, leave the gang environment, essentially, if they wanted to. And there was a heck of a lot of discretion around prosecutions, full stop, per se. Is that approach still there? We're now getting this punitive bill and the crackdown on gangs bill and, stop intimidating people in public. But when you look at the wider issues surrounding gangs, is that still a strand of work police engage in or not?
Yes, certainly is. And look, we have to tackle the gang problem in New Zealand on two fronts. We've got to address why young men joining gangs in the first place, without a doubt. There's been some really interesting, probably isn't the right word, probably alarming reports out of the Commission into Abuse and State Care. And, I now look back at some of the people I dealt with, and if I'd known what they'd been through as young men, I might have treated them differently. But at the same time, we can't ignore the fact that there's been a 92% increase in gang members in the last 7 years. So I think there has to be stick and carrot. And this is a bit of stick, but equally, we need to look at why young people join in. And I still think education's the key. We've got to make sure we have an education system that works for the diverse nature of New Zealanders, and that it means something to people. And then obviously the value of work, I think, is incredibly important. We can't have these young people that think their aspiration is to put a patch on their back and drive a Harley Davidson, because that isn't going to help them or the community.
Well, that's what they're being told on TikTok and elsewhere with the marketing by some of the newer generation gangs. One final observation. We had a guest on yesterday, the Billy Graham Boxing Initiative. It's David Graham, I think, as we were speaking to yesterday. And he was reflecting on the boot camps move again. This all kind of ties up. And he was talking about how if you've got some of the fetal alcohol syndrome, having someone yelling at them and, chasing them around the perimeter of a fence is not going to calm the nervous system. And he said, look, if you're going to do this, for goodness sake, involve the, I think, 40 groups who are already dealing with youth on this pathway, for goodness sake, involve us and involve us in the transition out. Because anecdotally, what we're hearing is that the gangs might be very interested in who the roll call is on these boot camps, and they might be the transition point coming out. How much interest do police have in this part of the puzzle?
Yeah, well, look, one thing looked in and researched around these the so-called boot camps or whatever's been used over the years, speaking to people that have run them or people that have dealt with people who have been on them, The biggest change is the increase in people's self-esteem while they're on them. So it's not as bad as you hear, you know, it's all this regimented running around, blah, blah. Actually, it increases the self-esteem is amazing. The challenge is when they leave the boot camp and there's no support going forward and they just go back into a violent far now or something like that, or no work. The best ones, if you can get them a job out of a boot camp, that is the one who have the best result. So I think working with these other agencies or these non-for-profits and saying, look, we've got these young kids, we've done this with them, they're in a really good space now. What can we do to support them once they move out of this environment into their day-to-day? That's going to have the best impact. Putting them into a gang environment, I don't think, is the answer by any stretch.
Well, the question is, the gangs might be the ones who are more interested in the transition, potentially.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Those running the scheme. And his plea was...
Transition is really important, without a doubt.
Thank you.
No use doing something for 6 weeks and then saying, see you later, you're on your own.
Thank you, Chris Cahill of the Police Association. A number of submitters to that bill yesterday, including the Law Society on the Bill of Rights issues and also a former gang member who indeed had been through state care. RNZ has wider reports on it online, rnz.co.nz.